This next mystery guest left the University of Southern California as the Trojans' all-time leader in pass completions. He played a decade in the NFL and Canada before joining ESPN in 1997. You might remember his debates with John Clayton on ESPN before debate shows became cool. He appeared in the 2005 comedy Benchwarmers and later went on to be a sports talk radio host. He currently spends his mornings breaking down the dumpster fire that is the Houston Texans. Ooh. Okay, mystery guest, reveal yourself.
I am the average quarterback, Sean Salisbury.
Oh,
average quarterback.
Average and late, Sean Salisbury.
you know what's crazy, guys? I swear to you, coming up in the elevator in the 617, I said, it's WEEI, but why are they calling now? I thought it was 3 o'clock Sunday, and I'm thinking, these guys don't work on Sunday. What am I talking about? It's today. So I'm losing my mind, man. It's sorry about being late. I apologize.
Take a lap.
It's good to be with you guys.
That's right. We deal with four. Yeah, he's gotten hit a few times in his life.
Yeah,
too,
there was
Sean,
a. You know? Yeah, I've been calling everybody the wrong name all day. I have no idea why it's happening.
There you go.
Well, Sean, everybody knows about your time at ESPN, and I did throw it out that you were one of the guys that came in and auditioned at WEEI. But give us your story from ESPN to where you are now.
Well, and my audition for my audition was just a one-day, four-hour, and I had a blast. You guys do it well there, man. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I went from my stuff at ESPN and then had been doing some stuff locally for Fox and CBS in Dallas, and then Houston, a boss hired me away from there, and I've been in Houston for the last 7 years and training quarterbacks all over the country. I host Morning Drive Radio on iHeartMedia and in Houston on Sports Talk 790, and do podcasts, and I'm also doing a nightly show in San Francisco at 95.7 The Game now, football hour. So
jeez,
that's what I've been doing, man. Just trying to stay on top of it and staying close. Yeah.
All right. So you've obviously you're dialed in at the quarterback position. So I'm just, before I ask you the question, have you been paying attention to the Patriots and Cam Newton and, you know, his play so far?
Yeah, sure have. I try to watch them all. I try to tape them and watch as many games as I can.
Okay. Yep. So give me your brutally honest, your Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, brutally honest assessment of Cam Newton so far.
And I think part of it is that he's never going to be able to live up with what people expect when number 12 left. That's the hardest thing. Those shoes, even though he's a big dude, those are big shoes to fill. I think what you have is when he's hot early and feeling it and healthy and confident, you get a guy who's a big play guy that can take over a game. Still got that ability in it, but if you take him and make him one-dimensional, and I would, if it was me, the one dimension I would try to make is not allow him to get into his confident, getting on the edge, RPO, break contain, and then get that momentum where he's celebrating and get back in and get into Josh McDaniels' rhythm. I think that if you're the 49ers or anybody else, you try to make him one-dimensional, beat you from that hula hoop in the pocket, and make him throw and make him throw confidently with accurate continuously. I think he... You know, it's such a different look from when Tom was there because their games are so different. But I think he's been better than average. I think he is still a scary weapon when he's going. But I also think that if you get him early and get him out of his game and make him chase, you could force a few turnovers. He's extremely dangerous when he's got both games working. So if I'm a defense, I would coordinate him. I'd say you cannot allow him to be two-dimensional. And if you make him be patient and take away the monster chunk plays, see if he can play horizontal like Tom was so good at. That's the key for them. If he plays horizontal football the whole time, can he be accurate enough to deliver the ball from that position in the pocket on a regular basis when you take away the big play? I think he's been better than average, but I think there's still more to his game, and there's going to have to be for the Patriots with all these opt-outs in this division.
Yeah, Sean, we were just talking about, like, if defensive coordinator, you know, they're a running football team. You can pack the box, keep an eye on Cam, and how do they beat you? So, in your opinion, this Patriots team who's 2-3 right now, are they a playoff team in the AFC?
The way Buffalo's coming back to the pack, Miami's going to start a quarterback that hasn't played started a game yet, and the Jets are the Jets. They blow. So, yeah, there you have it. I think Buffalo will be better. I think they're the team to chase, but if you get to 9 wins, I think you're going to make the playoffs. And the question is, how healthy will he stay? Because, you know, he takes punishment, and he delivers punishment. And I'm with you. For me, it is not only to stack the box and take that away, but make him play patient. I love to see quarterbacks who are big play guys that love to find the first read and beat you. go through progression one, progression two, stay patient, hang back, and then will you deliver the ball to three, and then use your legs as four. So I went into the season saying they weren't a playoff team, and so I'm not going to waffle and say not. I said they were on the cusp, but probably missed out, even with the extension. But the way that the teams like the Texans are playing, they may be able to sneak in, but they're going to have to go on a run, and he's going to have to stay healthy. So I'll stick by my guns and say Buffalo wins the division and only one team makes it, but the Patriots have a chance if Newton goes, you know, catches fire for sure.
We're talking to Sean Salisbury, our mystery guest today, and I wanted to ask you about the Texans, 1-5, huge payroll, franchise quarterback. They fire Bill O'Brien, but here's what stuns us up here in New England. Jack Easterby, when he was up here, he was kind of the team chaplain, a team motivator. How has he ascended to the point right now where he seems to be in control of everything for that organization?
It's a dumbass front office, horrible owner who has no clue. And while Bill had too much power to turn it over to Jack Easterby, well, you heard Deshaun Watson yesterday simply say, well, oh, we're not trading anybody. We had a meeting after on the field with the fellas, and hey, nobody getting traded here. So wait a minute, is Easterby just, well, Deshaun, you're also Bill was the GM and the coach. Why don't we just make you the quarterback and the GM? I don't know, and I know this, that for me, if Jack Easterby is making the decisions going forward on who to hire as the GM, if he is the final decision, see, Cal McNair, the owner, now, it's one thing not to meddle. It's another thing not to even be a part of it. And so I don't think it was usually when Bill would tell him what's going on and tell him what the decisions were, not ask him, like, you know, here's what we're doing. And somehow, some way, when you start off like he did, even though Bill won divisions, kind of lost the team, and they got a little too casual, shockingly, because Bill's a grinder. But Jack Easterby, because Bill put him in that position, and the irony of it, now Bill's out. There is no way that Jack Easterby can run this football organization. They've got to find a football guy who has power, but also doesn't answers to the owner, but hires a coach that coaches, and he stays out of that. There's got to be some division that goes on. If Jack Easterby is running this franchise and making all the decisions, I think the Texans not only are in trouble now, but in trouble going forward with a franchise quarterback and a monster payroll left sitting in their lap with no draft picks in the first round.
Hey, Sean, I know you're down there in Houston. I'm just curious. Obviously, the Astros, they get bumped here. But did you see, like, support? Was this like an Astros playoff run like you've seen in the past? Or are Astro fans not supporting this team? Or was it us against the world? What was it like?
This is the last part. You guys will be shocked. This is a football state, as you know. But I'm just telling you right now, they don't even want to talk about it. They were a lot of people here didn't want Bill O'Brien around, so that had some legs for a couple days. It's shocking, but this is a baseball city. If the Texans are a playoff team and the Astros are charging the playoffs, they don't want to talk about the Texans most of the time. Now, the deep hardcore Texans fans, but they had the old us against the world, and there were some, you know, you'll get the delusional ones that said, well, everybody was cheating, and maybe they were, but they have that, and then you get the ones that are rational that say, you know, they cheated, they made their bed, they got to sleep in it. And then they get some that say, hey, we were better, and here's why we didn't lose, because, well, this pitcher was hurt, and this guy wasn't playing well. But no, they are – this is a through-and-through support, get after it, bummer. People are depressed when the Astros lose. If you ask them now, they'd all bring A.J. Hinch back and Jeff Luno. This is what they want here. They're more depressed when the Astros don't go to the World Series than they are when the Texans are 1-5, and that's a fact.
Did you say they wanted A.J. Hinch back?
Oh, they would take. I was being facetious, not the owner. But if you ask the team here, I mean, fans and media, and said if you could bring A.J. Hinch back, would you? They bring him back. They bring him back in a heartbeat. He's still more popular than Bill was or any football coach has been here. They love A.J. Hinch in this city. They do. And so this is an Astros town. Texans take a backseat to the Astros, have since I've been in this town.
All right, real quick, last one.
Game.
Yeah, last one. Yeah, great. You got them going, huh? I mean, do you host your own show? Because, boy, I tell you what, there's one gear with you, and we love you for it. Would the Houston
only gear I got, brother.
Yeah, yeah. I know. We love it. Hey, would the Houston Texans have the appetite for another Bill Belichick disciple as a head coach? I'm talking about Josh McDaniels. Do you think that would play out there?
Well, you know who's in charge, and just like we'd already talked about, I think it's very real that it'll be Josh McDaniels and somebody else like Bieniemy or maybe Joe Brady in Carolina if people think he's ready, or, you know, Brian Daboll, one of the, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Now, people the people here. Now, I know how hard it is to win because I couldn't win many, but they're, when you bring up the New England Patriots and bring in another Belichick disciple, people are bothered by it. Now you think, well, we'd love to have Bill. If you guys want to ship that Bill here, they'll take him. But, yeah, I think when you bring it up, McDaniel's name, they don't want to mention it for whatever reason, because they just don't trust it, I guess, from the history of some of the assistants going to be head coaches. But, no, they're craving Eric Bieniemy here. Now, they take Josh because of his success, but right now if you polled here, matter of fact, we'll put up a poll question next week on our show, and you watch, Josh will finish, if we put four up, he'll finish fourth just because of the Bill O'Brien effect that these fans did not like for whatever reason, even though he won, what, four division titles. So there's a very real possibility that Josh McDaniels could be the head coach here, and he's got a franchise quarterback, which I'm sure is a turn-on for any coach or makes it a place of destiny for guys that want a good football player.
Fascinating. Great stuff. Sean Salisbury, our mystery guest this week. We appreciate it.
Guys, honored to be on with you, and I apologize for being a few minutes late. Thanks for your time.
Take your laps now. Go take your laps. Five. See ya.
Who is that?
Who are you?
Who can it be now?
Who is he?
Who the hell are you?